Five Reasons Why Mentor Meter Works So Well by Martin Compton. When it comes to tools that do a teaching and learning job, there is a world of dedicated educational technology and so-called productivity tools to choose from. I'm very much an experimenter and a fiddler. If I see someone using or referring to a website or tool that looks interesting in a meeting or at a conference, I'm there in seconds, signing up, playing around, making judgments that have become a staple of my needs and preference-focused filtration system. In broad terms, I like to be able to try things for free, for it to be relatively intuitive and straightforward, and most important, fit for either predefined or imagined teaching or assessment purposes. I've written more about the how and the why of this with my former colleague, Dr. Timos Ampanis, in two places linked in the text. I try not to evangelize, and I'm very much of the school that would argue that purpose rather than any given tool should be a starting point for discussions about integrating digital approaches. But there's something about what Mentimeter can do and how it does it that means I do sometimes slip into ultra-enthusiast mode. Unlike a lot of tech approaches and tools that pass the initial free, easy, fit-for-purpose test, there's something about the breadth of purpose that Mentimeter is fit for and its intuitiveness that, for me, make it a class above other tools. Also see the text for links to an article by Chris Little at Keel, who made this point a while back. And also a link to an evaluation of a number of student response tools, including Mentimeter, from when I and a colleague at Greenwich were tasked with identifying what the best institution-wide student response system would be. So what are the reasons? One, it's not hardware dependent. Like a lot of people similarly enthusiastic about opportunities for enhancing student interaction and engagement with digital technologies, I spent a lot of time, much of which was ultimately wasted, focused on hardware. From interactive whiteboards to in-class iPad sets to PDAs and flip cams, the issues that directly impeded scaling of use as well as my own enthusiasm were limited to one or more of the following. Amount of training needed, device security and storage, just-in-time access limits, responsibility for maintenance, rapidity of obsolescence of kit. In my view, all these were factors that afflicted clickers, that is, the passed-around voting pods that we previously used. As revolutionary as they promised to be, they were only ever used by the few, despite the gleaming aluminium cases and the sumptuous foam inserts that the clicker devices sat in. The BYOD, that is, bring your own device, dependence on user devices when it comes to cloud-based software alternatives like Mentimeter means that people usually know how to use their own devices, or at least access the internet. Device security, maintenance, updating is not an issue because it's the responsibility of the device owner. They are, by definition, available. This turns an off-sighted teacher's frustration of mobile device distraction into a potential virtue. But what if students don't have a device? Is a common question. However, like many things in this domain, it's largely about framing. I'll always make participation optional and make it clear that if you have a device on you, if in a face-to-face setting, or if you have a big enough screen or a separate device nearby, if online, and frequently subvert the assumption that responses need to be individual. So I might precede voting with a group-based discussion with one person per group responding, for example. I've moved between institutions in the last year, and both have invested in a site license and access to the full suite of tools and functionality that Mentimeter offers. This privilege is something that must be acknowledged. So it's certainly not free anymore, though I personally pay nothing, of course. But the free version is still relatively generous. In my view, it's an exemplary freemium setup, actually. Just on the right side of frustrating in amongst the persuasive. Two, it's a slide presentation tool that has many merits in its own right. One thing that is often missed because the point of Mentimeter is interaction is how well it works as an alternative to PowerPoint as a presentation tool. Even though PowerPoint remains the default across higher education for slide production, even during that weird period when everyone was doing Prezi's, for the most part, colleagues seemed to struggle to break from the desktop app habit. As a consequence, sharing of slides becomes an upload-download faff, or even if sharing is managed via MS Office cloud storage, there are often restrictions on who can view. Mentimeter generates a link, so the first benefit is slides can be shared as easily as any website link. Secondly, the participation link enables the students to see the slides, including detail of pictures, for example, on their own devices in real time, as well as, or possibly instead of, the main screen. Thirdly, the author interface is simple. There's a variety of slide types. The copyright-free image gallery is easy to use, as is the alt text prompt. Fourthly, the ability to add simple interactions, for example, a thumbs up or thumbs down, mean that students can be invited to contribute even to content delivery type slides by, for example, agreeing or disagreeing with a controversial idea or quotation. The slides have more limited space for text, and this, to some a limitation, is an excellent discipline when preparing slides to minimize the text and challenging the tendency many of us have to use too much of it. Third, the participation of interaction options are substantial and adaptable. In a previous post, there were a few occasions where students chose notoriety over maturity and tried to undermine sessions by being abusive in open text questions. This led to something of a knee-jerk response by some colleagues, it has to be said, who questioned whether the tool should be supported or used at all. For me, it was much like way back. Access to YouTube was banned for all students and all teaching staff in a college I worked in because one student had accessed a, what was granted seriously, inappropriate video. This sledgehammer to a nut response was not the way to address things, in my view, not least because Mentimeter's existing tools and functionality enable users to avoid and tackle such behaviors. So if open text questions are used, there are ways of monitoring and filtering content, including a profanity filter. And of the 10 interaction question types, only 3 are actually open text. To grasp this, however, does often necessitate more than a superficial exploration and experimentation. It could involve coming to one of my hour-long workshops, for example. One thing I commonly do is encourage colleagues to consider how they might eschew the favoured word cloud and open text formats and find ways of fully exploiting the lesser used types. In addition, it's important to think about how the interactions are presented and managed. A well-designed question can be an excellent vehicle for prompting discussion prior to voting, or as a prompt for analysing, rationalising a response that has been previously offered. Next, frequent updates and improvements. There's no resting on laurels with Mentimeter, and there does seem to be acknowledgement of user requests. For example, the ability to embed video in slides from YouTube is a real blessing. And if using Mentimeter as a slide tool as well as for interaction, further minimizes shifting between tabs or different software. A very recent and welcome improvement is the ability to have active hyperlinks in both participation and presentation modes. The so-called Mentimote tool that allows you to use your smartphone as a slide clicker, moderation tool, and presentation embellisher has also recently switched from beta to fully fledged mode and works very well, especially for live in-person events. Finally, when COVID came, Mentimeter was equipped to adapt. The default pace setting in Mentimeter is presenter paced. That is, the presenter advances slides and only then can participants see them. This is very much in keeping with how Mentimeter, presumably, was conceived and how many people who are users regard it. However, the non-default option, audience paced, allows slide collections with interactions to be accessed at the audience's pace. When lessons switched online almost across the board, it was common for academic colleagues to take the intuitive approach and try to replicate face-to-face teaching in online environments via Zoom, Teams, or Collaborate. They often tried to incorporate Mentimeter slides too. Whilst this is doable, and it is something I routinely use myself, the complexity and both mental and actual bandwidth that this layers on to already struggling staff and students with kit, with space, with implications of COVID, meant that it often felt unsatisfactory. Alongside my and my colleagues' recommendations to rethink how online time could be exploited and optimized, I encouraged colleagues to think about the possibilities of using Mentimeter asynchronously by encouraging participation ahead of a session, then presenting results in a session. Much faffing, device and screen changing is removed, but still students have a buy-in to the content. When I came to my current post, it was fascinating to see how colleagues in similar positions to my own, such as Dr. Silvia Colliacomo, were saying the same thing, and I've linked to a case study from her here. So there are a few other links to my thoughts on Mentimeter from a while back, a collaboration with two colleagues previously at Greenwich about the Empowered Presenter Scheme, and a video case study that I made with a colleague and a student from the Division of Psychiatry on the way that both academic staff and students are using Mentimeter. Thank you very much.